This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. I want to go back to the December unemployment report for a second. We got it last Friday, talked about it quite a bit with Catherine Rempel and Kate Davidson that day. Mitchell did a story for us too, you might remember. But there is something we left out that we need to not let slip. The overall unemployment rate did drop to 3.9%. We told you about that. But the unemployment rate for black women went up from 4.9 to 6.2%, which is a big jump, and it needs some explaining. That's why we've gotten Michelle Holder on the phone. She's long been a scholar of black women in the American labor force. She's also the president and the CEO of the Washington Center for Equitable Growth. Michelle, welcome to the program. It's great to have you back on.
It's great to be with you again, Kai. Thank you.
Jobs report comes out last Friday. You, as an interested observer and all the rest of us, grabbed it hot off the presses at 8:30. What did you think when you scrolled down to the part where it gets broken out by race and gender?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that's been pretty clear over the course of this COVID pandemic is that the participation rate of black women in the U.S. labor force has been on the steepest decline, with the exception of Latinas. The biggest drop in the labor force participation rate among female demographic groups is among Latinas, and then secondly, black women. But the magnitude of those declines is really quite telling.
Talk to me a little bit about why it's happening.
Sure. So, you know, in looking at black women, part of the story there is, like all women in the U.S., they are overrepresented in the service sector. But, you know, they are also particularly overrepresented in the care industry. And the most likely jobs to be lost during the first several months of the COVID downturn were as cashiers first, and then secondly, as childcare workers. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the things that really played into the steep decline in black women's labor force participation rate, their overrepresentation in the care industry in the U.S.
Okay, so now move from the kinds of jobs that black women do in this economy to the position black women hold in the American labor force, because they are unique, right? Both in their status in households and in how they bring home the wages in those households.
Absolutely. So, you know, one thing I would definitely want to sort of preface this discussion by saying is that black women are actually the most attached to the labor force, more so than white women, more so than Latinas. There are reasons for that. One major one is that, you know, after emancipation, black men's wages was so little that it was actually necessary for black women to work. But, you know, fast forward to the present day, you know, the position of black women in the workforce, it's determined by several things. You know, number one, a really pivotal moment in the history of the United States was the Civil Rights Act, because prior to that, there were occupations and industries that black women were actively excluded from. You know, that period kind of cast a shadow on where black women would be situated in the workforce in this country for decades to come.
So what does it mean now, decades later, right? As we sit here looking at a December 2021 unemployment report, and the unemployment rate for black women goes up by something like 1.5% as the overall rate goes down, and everybody says, ooh, look, full employment practically. What does that mean for the broader economy?
It doesn't mean anything good. Sure. If you look carefully at the numbers, what effectively happened is black women started re-engaging more so in terms of looking for work, but could not find work. And furthermore, you know, even though their labor force participation rate, along with basically every other demographic groups, increased slightly, we're on a downward trajectory in terms of this attachment to the American labor force, which is really not good for our economy at all.
So as we enter year three of this pandemic, with all of the historical situations that you have cited and a future as uncertain in this economy as it's been in many a decade, where are we going, do you think? What's your guess?
Yeah, it's difficult to really say with accuracy, of course. And, you know, as an economist, I always try to avoid sort of predicting what's going to happen in the future, because we're frequently wrong. So one of the things that I think, unfortunately, we're going to see is more precarity with regard to Black and brown women as workers, simply because if an employer is comparing resumes and for Black and brown women, you're seeing longer stints of unemployment. This has a real, what economists like to call, scarring effect. There are going to be lingering scarring effects more so for Black and brown women.
You know, that's so funny, because Jay Powell, early on in this pandemic and through the middle phases of it, not that we're out of it, but in the mid-ranges of it, he would talk about the scarring effects of this pandemic on the labor force. And here you are now saying it's going to be worse, actually, than we thought.
Well, it's going to be worse for women of color.
Yeah, that's the key.
That's the key. Mm-hmm.
Michelle Holder is the president and CEO of the Washington Center for Equitable Growth. Also, because I guess she just needs a lot of stuff to do, she's an associate professor of economics at John Jay College at the City University of New York. Michelle, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you as well, Kai. Take care.